I went to Baylor College of Dentistry in Dallas. It was during that time that I fell in love with my wife. We've now been married for 42 years. When we moved to Katy, Texas, to start our practice life together, me as a general dentist and her as a doctor of audiology, so I was very involved with my local church. And so flash forward to the end of my dental career, after having a successful dental practice for 40 years, I decided it was time to sell my practice and then get credentialed at the dental school. So when I first came to University of Texas School of Dentistry at Houston, I found out about CMDA at that time. So now I've been involved with CMDA for 3 years on the faculty level at the dental school. The whole idea behind the Christian Medical and Dental Association is to create an atmosphere, a safe place for Christians while they're going through their credentialing process, be that medical school, dental school, or any of the other health-related professions. And then once you're at school and you have that safe place, then we nurture the students, make them feel loved, and provide all sorts of opportunities to share their faith and gain strength. While they're getting their credential, they can also get better credentialed as far as their faith walk. And then therefore, once they graduate, we give them tools where they can integrate that into their lives. What a difference CMDA has made in my life for the past 3 years that I've been involved. It's just a great organization that I'm so glad to be a part of.
Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, and you're listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. I hope that you were inspired by those words just now from Dr. Tommy Harrison, a dentist who serves as a CMDA faculty advisor in Houston, Texas. We're so thankful for faculty advisors just like Dr. Harrison, who come alongside our student leaders at campuses all over the country and help students thrive through CMDA during their training. The ministry of CMDA is made possible through volunteers just like Dr. Harrison, who understand the value of educating, encouraging, and equipping the next generation of Christian healthcare professionals. Well, speaking of that next generation, I'm so excited to introduce you to two medical students from Campbell University School of Osteopathic Medicine. On today's podcast, these two young women, Amy Rathbone, who's a fourth-year student, and Ray Flagel, a third-year student, are juggling so many responsibilities during medical school, and yet they are both still finding time to share their faith as well as to do spiritual care for their patients. I trust that when you finish hearing their stories today, you will say in your heart, and maybe even with your mouth out loud, "To God be the glory, great things He has done." Please join me now as we listen in to that recent conversation. Well, today on CMDA Matters, our guests caused me to think back to the launching of this wonderful organization back in 1931, because it was two medical students at Northwestern University in Chicago who discovered each other and encouraged one another in their walk with the Lord. And out of that sprung this organization of now around 18,000 members. And so my guests today are two medical students, one a third year and one a fourth year. And I felt like I should not interview our guests from Campbell University without our Vice President of Campus and Community Ministries, Bill Reichert, to come join me, because Bill's been doing campus ministry now for well over a decade, and even was with Crew before us. So thank you for joining me today, Bill Reichert.
Yes. Thank you, Mike. Glad to be part of this conversation with Ray and Amy.
Well, just a few weeks ago, I got an email from one of our past presidents and also someone who was in Bill's role a number of years ago, Dr. Al Weir, as well as a area campus director, campus advisor from the Triangle area in North Carolina, that there was this great story he wanted to share with us. And it ended up being part of one of Dr. Weir's devotionals that he sends out every week to our membership. And I just was so encouraged and inspired by the story, a story about how she experienced a spiritual intervention in the life of a patient. And as we were communicating with her campus advisor, Dr. Craig Fowler, whose wife Amy, both of them are lead the student efforts there at Campbell and in the Triangle area, I thought, wow, we should have her on the program. And she's joined today, Ray is, by a fellow student who's a year ahead of her, Amy Rathbone. So let me just briefly tell you about these two medical students. Ray is a third-year medical student at Campbell University School of Osteopathic Medicine who served as the vice president of the CMDA chapter there during the 2020-2021 school year. And prior to getting into medical school, Ray had a master's in science in functional nutrition, as well as owning her own personal training business. And she taught undergraduate courses in personal and community health, human nutrition, and anatomy and physiology. Ray and her husband, Zach, they've been married for 11 years. Awesome. And then Ray also has a six-year-old daughter, Navy Ray. She left her support system in Kansas City a number of years to go to medical school. And God has graciously blessed Ray and her family with abundant Christian community that comes not only from her local church, but also the CMDA chapter there at Campbell. Ray's primary purpose for pursuing a medical education, she says, is to meet the health needs of rural communities through connection medicine and health education. And then joining her as an upperclassman, if you will, a senior, final year of medical school, Amy Rathbone, who grew up in the mountains of North Carolina and developed a real passion for medicine at a young age. She went to Wake Forest University for undergrad, and she's currently in her fourth year at Campbell. She considers it a privilege to be able to serve God and glorify Him through helping patients. She's planning to pursue a career in family medicine once she graduates from medical school there in the Triangle area. So, Ray and Amy, you are highly welcome to CMDA Matters today.
Thank you so much for having us. It's really a pleasure to be here and to share our stories with you all.
We really are looking forward to hearing your story. And we're going to talk a little bit about how you bring your faith story into the interaction with patients. But before we get there, I think it's real important that we understand the backdrop of how you came to faith in Christ. Kind of what is your faith journey? And if I could, let me start with Amy first. If you could share just a little bit about how you came to become a Christ follower.
So I was really blessed to grow up in a Christian home. So I was in church from the time I was an infant, you know, all through high school. We rarely missed a Sunday unless someone was sick. Like the first time I remember hearing the gospel and really understanding that Christ died for my sins was when I was about 6 or 7 years old, and our Sunday school teacher had taken us to a Christmas program at one of the larger churches in the Asheville area. I will always remember that's the first time that I really recognized that Christ died for my sins. And, you know, if we believe in Him, then we have eternal life. So that was when I would say that I was saved. And I just kind of continued to grow in the faith thanks to several mentors in the church throughout my life. And I definitely feel like I got more discipled as I was kind of more in my college years. During that time, I had a Sunday school teacher who was just very gifted with teaching scripture and really put a passion in all of his students to be students of the word and to really study scripture, to be passionate about doctrine and learning theology and all of those things as well. So I think I've grown a lot thanks to him, God working through him. I've also been very blessed by having great mentors at Campbell, both faculty and fellow students that have really helped me grow in my faith.
Well, that's absolutely true. You have some great mentors, great individuals who work there at Campbell. Mike mentioned earlier, Craig and Amy Fowler, and so many others that are investing into students' lives. Why don't we move to you, Ray? Just share a little bit of your journey to how you came to become a follower of Christ.
So I didn't grow up in a Christian home in the way that I understand that now, but I can't remember a time when I didn't know that Jesus died for my sins. I remember my dad distinctly telling me that when I was a little girl. We went to church on the major holidays and things like that, but it wasn't until I actually started dating my now husband, my first semester of undergrad, that I really heard the gospel for the first time, like really heard it. I went to meet his family for the first time, Christmas break, and their sort of adopted grandmother of the family, we went to visit her in the nursing home, and she asked me if I knew Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And it was kind of alarming to me because that question really, it made me angry. I got really mad and I got very defensive, and I just responded to this sweet little old lady, well, yes. You know, I surprised myself with that kind of response. But so that Sunday we went to church with his family, and I know a lot of people have had this experience, but essentially where you sense that the pastor is speaking directly to you. And he said, you know, you've been living life this certain way. You've been doing things all on your own. You've probably been comparing yourself to other people, thinking, well, at least I'm not as bad as, you know, so-and-so. You think you've got it worked out with God. You think you've kind of got this side deal with him. And he goes, but there's a decision before you to make. And I really sensed the gravity of what he was saying. I could sense that there was a decision for me to make. And I didn't truly understand that, because like I said, I couldn't remember a time when I didn't know what he was saying was absolutely true. And so it was kind of confusing, but I remember going home from that trip and just praying in my bedroom and just saying, well, Lord, if I'm not doing this the right way that honors and glorifies you, then show me. Whatever the fullness is of everything that you intended for this life, you know, I want to experience that. I was actually pretty inspired by Amy's story about discipleship, because that's something that I really didn't have. So for the next 10 or so years, I was looking for that, and I didn't realize that at the time. But my family wasn't going to church regularly, and my now husband lived 3.5 hours away. So I didn't really have that connection or any real way to grow. So I kind of had Jesus on the side and this knowledge of myself, but I didn't really understand my identity in him and what that looked like to live, to take tests as a Christian, to go to school as a Christian. And so it wasn't until about 10 years later that the Lord kind of started taking out all of my comforts that I had up until that point and just kind of brought me in to a place where I recognized that everything, it's all him. There's nothing that I bring to the table. So that has been very freeing and liberating.
Well, Ray and Amy, thank you for sharing your testimonies. And as I said earlier, I want our listeners to know that it was an experience that you had, Ray, with a particular patient that put you on my radar, and many of our listeners probably get the weekly devotional from Dr. Al Weir, but many do not. And so would you just briefly share what happened with you and a patient who was in her 80s there in the hospital? And then for both of you, I'd like you to share with us one at a time, how did you get introduced to the idea of sharing your faith and or praying with patients? One of you is a third year and another a fourth year. So what happened in your training that gave you such courage to step out and do such spiritual ministry with patients? Ray, why don't you tell us the story?
This is my very first month of rotation. So first month was inpatient medicine, and I had a patient who was in her 80s and she was medically stable, but she had a family member with her, one of her children there with her every day. I never saw her without a family member present, which as a mother is kind of, it's neat to see. You get to be kind of a part of the, you know, talking with the family and getting to know them. And one day I just, her countenance was kind of off to me, just something about, she was medically stable. Like I said, she was just getting some tests and things like that, but she was mostly okay. And she just burst into tears. I went and checked in on her multiple times throughout the day, just because something about her countenance wasn't setting right with me. So one of those times I went in there and she just burst into tears and said that she was terrified to die. And I just sat down, and the daughter started crying as well. And so I sat down and I said, may I pray with you? And the daughter just looked at me and she said, yes, we would really like that. And so I had no idea, you know, what their faith background was or anything like that. And so I just prayed and thanked God for the physician of physicians. And I just proclaimed the gospel through my prayer and just said, thank you that we don't have to fear death because you sent your son to live a perfect and sinless life. And he died the death that should have been ours so that we can live for him in eternity because his blood now covers us. And I said, thank you that we don't have to fear death. And I praised God, and that was kind of it. I think that there's power in saying the name of Jesus.
Of course. Yes, there is.
Because I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, they'll refer to God or they might even say Lord, but when you say Jesus, it's like kind of even catches me a little bit sometimes in those moments. But anyway, so I asked them if they had a church home, cause I was going to maybe offer, you know, do you want me to call your pastor? Do you want to call your pastor, you know, and just kind of let them know that you're here. And she said she didn't have a church home, but she asked if I would call the chaplain. So I said, yeah, absolutely. So I called the chaplain and asked him to come check in on her. And that was the last time I saw her that day. The next day I came back to pre-round, but she was out of the room for a test. So the first time I saw her the next day was actually when we were in our big entourage of rounds with the attending and the residents. And we go into the room and the attending was wrapping up the medical conversation. And the patient's daughter looked at me and said, thank you so much for yesterday. We really appreciate it. And then she said, guess who got baptized yesterday? And I just said, praise Jesus. And I went over and gave her a big hug. And it was just kind of really interesting. Not sure what I'm just curious what maybe they were thinking. But yeah, it was pretty incredible.
Let me ask you, Amy, the same question. Is there any stories that you've experienced, lives that have been transformed or family members have been impacted as you've been integrating these practices where you bring your faith to bear within practicing healthcare?
Yeah, definitely. The most memorable one for me also happened on my internal medicine rotation in the hospital. So I met this patient the very first day of my third year rotations on internal medicine. I was sent down to the emergency department to see this patient who we were admitting. I walked in the room and it was a grown man, you know, a 50-year-old man, and just in tears, terrified, really sick in a lot of pain. And I introduced myself and I just really felt convicted that I needed to pray with him. I didn't know anything about him yet, but I offered to pray with him before we started talking about his medical history. And he just immediately had this sense of calm about him, even when I asked the question before we even started praying. He said yes, and we prayed together, and I just asked for God to give him peace and give him comfort that can only come from Jesus. And you know, he stopped crying and he just immediately had this sense of relief. And after we prayed, he shared with me that he was also a believer and he was so grateful that he knew someone who was going to be taking care of him in the hospital was a fellow believer. And so, you know, I did his whole HMP and everything. And after a few days, we realized that he had endocarditis and that's why he was so ill. And so he had to be in the hospital for almost a month on IV antibiotics before we sent him to a nursing facility for the rest of his treatment. And so I got to see him every day for almost a month, and I got to pray with him every day and, you know, share stories and learn about his family and what he used to do for work and just really built this awesome relationship with him. And I remember one of the last days that he was in the hospital, he told me, he was like, you know, thank you for being a light in this dark place. And like, don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose hope in that. And don't ever be afraid to like share your faith with patients. Cause he said, you know, it made such a difference in my life and in this difficult time that I'm going through. His story has stayed with me. And I think it'll always be something that continues to inspire me to share my faith with patients.
Well, Amy and Ray, I want to thank you for sharing both of the experiences. And there are similarities between both of your experiences. One, both of your patients were really anxious. And I've never quite thought about it this way, but when Paul talked to the Philippians in chapter 4 about don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, in the next verse, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What you did is a bit of a prayer proxy on behalf of your patients, and that they were anxious, and you put that petition up to the Lord with those patients in two different circumstances, and the peace of God that passes all understanding helped guard your patients' hearts and minds. And I'm just wondering who set that example for you to say, I'm going to do this as well.
Definitely the biggest inspiration for me was working with Dr. Joe Cassioppo at Campbell. He is in the global health department and he heads up all of the mission trips that Campbell leads. The first mission trip that I took with him was at the end of my first semester of med school, and we went to Jamaica for a week. A couple of weeks before he takes a team anywhere, he always has sort of a team orientation at his house. It's really just to prepare the team for, you know, what to expect, to kind of bond with the people who are going, but also to really emphasize that the reason that we're going there is not to provide medical care. That's not the primary reason. You know, we're going to minister to people, and medicine is just the instrument that we're using to do that. And as part of this orientation, he kind of walks through, whenever you're examining a patient, you know, make sure that you make them feel loved and show them, like, physically that you have compassion. You know, put your hand on their shoulder or knee or lean in, like, show that you're really listening. And the main thing that he always emphasized was make sure that you are praying with all of your patients. Like, at the end of every encounter, when you finish talking about their blood pressure or their GERD or whatnot, offer if there's anything that they want to pray about. And that opens so many doors. You know, if they're a believer, that's fantastic. And if they're not, that opens doors to conversations. And we always have a pastor with us that they can speak further to that about afterward as well. So going on those trips and seeing people's lives change there, that really is what inspired me to really walk the walk with my faith in medicine. And he has been such an inspiration to see that you don't have to divorce your occupation from your calling from God, that you can be a Christian physician and live that every day.
What a gift for such role models. Ray, how about you? How you were introduced?
I will definitely second the contribution of Dr. Cassioppo's encouragement, just in my mind, of him talking about and telling stories about how he's prayed with patients and telling stories about mission trips and things like that. Dr. Paolini, Charlotte Paolini, she also has been very, I guess, instrumental in just sharing with me all the ways that she, and sharing with all of us about how she has prayed and ministered to patients, and just reiterating that, yes, medicine is the tool, but the primary purpose is ministering to souls. And I think along the way, I think that praying in front of people is difficult anyway. So I remember kind of, especially when I was a new believer, how uncomfortable I felt, like if you went to Bible study and then they would, you know, do like the popcorn prayer or something like that. And then I just remember being so, like, you just feel so self-focused, you know what I mean? Like, you feel so like, oh, what if I say the wrong thing? And so I think just doing that a lot in everyday life, whether it's in a small group or, oh my goodness, I mean, praying with your spouse. I mean, it sounds so small, but I think when things are incredibly powerful, I think we have the sense, I think you get the sense of the gravity of it just by how it makes you kind of feel. So I think exercising that is almost a muscle, and it just kind of becomes reflexive, you know, and I hope that I don't ever lose that sense of the gravity of the situation of it when you go to pray with a patient. I want it to be a reflex, yes, but not one that I take for granted, one where I definitely understand and appreciate the power of it. And I think the boldness to kind of go back to the first question that you answered, where does the boldness and the courage come from? It really just comes down to fearing God more than you fear man. Being bold before men and meek before God. I mean, because all of the things that make us so self-focused about, oh, should I pray with this patient? Should I not? What are people going to say? Is my attending going to see? Oh, are they going to come after me? Are they going to, all those things. It's the fear of man. And I think pushing back against that and just saying, look, I mean, I'm not here because of anything I did. So I'm not going to sustain it. So if I get asked to leave my program because I prayed with a patient, praise God.
Preach it, sister. Preach it.
I mean, is he not the administrator of administrators?
Well, no, that's an excellent point. But let me press in on that a little bit. And Amy and Ray, both of you can answer this. Obviously, you're putting your faith on display. It does not go unnoticed. And there are going to be some individuals, I suspect, either give you a sideways glance or have said something. Has anyone pushed back? Has anybody said anything in a negative way or called you out or, yeah, and any responses that were, difficult in the course of you practicing your faith in the course of your patients?
I have had a handful of patients who were not believers and were not very receptive to the fact that I offered to pray with them. You know, they were kind of shut down when I offered that, didn't want to talk about that any further. But thankfully, by the grace of God, I have not gotten any pushback from attendings or the administration thus far for praying with patients and talking to patients about faith. I do think that that day is probably coming, whether that's in residency or in practice. And I just pray that God will equip me to handle that then.
I've had one patient decline before I asked him if he would like me to pray with them. And he said, no, I'm good. So from that aspect, that's all I've had. I've not really had much. I can't think of any pushback that I've had from, administration or from attendings. And honestly, it's kind of concerning to me. I almost think, oh, well, maybe I'm not being bold enough. Like maybe that should be my litmus test or something, but I'm sure it's coming. And I just pray that God would give me the grace to thank him for that when it does, and to praise him for it, as opposed to kind of caving inward, I'll have you hold me accountable for praising him for that suffering, because ultimately that's what I want to do, is suffer well.
Tell our listeners, how has being a part of CMDA as a student made a difference as you've been passing through medical school? I mean, clearly your courage and faith has made a difference in the lives of patients, but how has CMDA made a difference for you?
I think a big part of it has been finding mentors to help disciple me. And I definitely second what Ray said about Dr. Paolini and Dr. Cassiopo, who I had mentioned earlier, but also being able to find fellow classmates who are genuine believers. That is so encouraging, to be going through the difficult time that is medical school with fellow believers who are going through the same thing, and being able to talk to them about, the stresses of school, but also about sharing our faith with patients, and be able to pray with each other when we're going through struggles in our personal lives. And I'm very grateful to CMDA for allowing me to make those connections with believers at my school.
Well, Amy and Ray, our time has run out. I just want to encourage you, because I think you have been an amazing example of fulfilling what Paul said to young Timothy. I don't know if Timothy was your age or not when Paul wrote this, but he said, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And you have done just that, both of you. So I want to encourage you to continue doing that, encourage the rest of your CMDA members there at Campbell and in the Triangle to continue living for God. And what courage. I'm telling you, I didn't have to face the challenges when I was in medical school in the 80s like you do today. We are very proud of you. And I know that those who hear this podcast, this interview, will be inspired, encouraged. And I bet they might even just pray for both of you as you get toward graduation and move on into training. Bill?
I echo all those comments. It's a great way to end this conversation, everything you said. But I would probably make a very concerted effort to have this conversation put before students, because I think what happens is a lot of students think that they're isolated, they're alone, that these are the only challenges. So they don't feel emboldened enough to do what you all are doing because they fear. They have that fear. But knowing that you all have stepped out in the way you have, I think is a great encouragement to those students that are going to be listening. And I'm going to do everything I can to put this conversation in front of students so that they can be encouraged by your witness and testimony. So thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Well, CMDA has a network of campus chapters helping students just like Ray and Amy to live out the character of Christ on their campuses. In fact, our ministry started more than 90 years ago on the campus of Northwestern University by two med students who were looking for connection as well as fellowship with other Christians during their journey through medical school. And today, we have more than 320 campus ministries representing 90% of our nation's medical and dental schools. You heard Bill Reichert on the podcast today, my co-host, and he leads our efforts to help students around the country find connection through CMDA. Those chapters depend on our graduate healthcare professionals to walk alongside students throughout their training transitions. There's no question that today's students who are serious about their faith, they face far more adversity and challenges than I faced when I was in medical school in the mid-80s. And that is on top of an already tough environment of learning and academic stretching that you all are aware of. Investing in the lives of today's healthcare students is so important to us here at CMDA. And it is my prayer today that it is important to you who are listening as well. If you want to get involved with mentoring students through CMDA's campus and community ministries, I encourage you to visit ccm.cmda.org or just email ccm@cmda.org today. You briefly heard us talking with Amy and Ray about CMDA's weekly devotionals. Written by past CMDA president Dr. Al Weir, who's an oncologist in Memphis, Tennessee, these thought-provoking messages are designed specifically for healthcare professionals and the challenges we face on a day-to-day basis. If you're not yet subscribed to receive this email from us, please visit cmda.org/blog and you can sign up. One of the most impactful things that I heard Ray share with us today was her experience in calling upon the name of Jesus and praying with one of her patients, and how that helped lead to her patient eventually being baptized. Wow, what an incredible story. It is truly an inspiration to hear how Ray and Amy and other students are integrating their faith into their practice of healthcare early on in their careers. That's one of the main reasons CMDA developed the new Faith Prescriptions on-demand video series, because we know that the spiritual health of our patients should be just as important to us as their physical health. A great missionary surgeon buddy of mine several years ago told me, "Mike, God hasn't called us to populate hell with hundreds of excellent hernia repairs." I couldn't agree more. Our Faith Prescriptions curriculum will teach you to share your faith in ethical and appropriate ways with colleagues and patients. It will teach you to pray with patients, and that's just the beginning. To get started with the series, which is free to our CMDA members, just visit the CMDA Learning Center at cmda.org/learning. Well, it's time to mark your calendars for the 2022 CMDA National Convention. We will be in my hometown of Indianapolis, Indiana, on April 21st through the 24th, 2022. It's going to be a wonderful chance for us to be together again. That's our theme, to find renewal, refreshment, and we will be praying for revival as well. One of our plenary speakers is Professor Carl Truman, who's the author of The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. And he was my guest on CMDA Matters earlier this year. You'll also get to hear from Dallas Jenkins, who's the creator and director of The Chosen TV series. Joining us also will be Lila Rose, the founder and president of Live Action, who was with us last week in Washington, D.C. for the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Healthcare Supreme Court case. And then there will be Dr. Daisy Dowell, who serves as the board chair for Christian Community Health Fellowship, as well as the medical director of the Lawndale Christian Health Center in Chicago. Right now is the time to register because our early bird pricing is only available for a short time to come. If you'd like more information and to register, please visit natcon.cmda.org today. For the last couple of weeks, I've been talking to you about our year-end giving campaign goal of a whopping $670,000. And we've had a donor willing to match the first $100,000. Today, I have great news. We've received $86,000 toward that year-end goal. Please, if you've not taken the time to give a gift yet, would you prayerfully consider the impact you'll have when you support the mission of CMDA by giving a generous gift? And that allows us to keep on educating, encouraging, and equipping healthcare students just like Ray and Amy, whom we heard from today. We've made it easy to give your gift. Just visit cmda.org/give or contact our stewardship team at 888-230-2637. Or you can also email us using the address stewardship@cmda.org. Looking forward to next week, I have invited back a husband and wife team, a double doctor duo, Dr. David and Dr. Janet Kim. They were my guests on CMDA Matters as the pandemic struck New York City in April of 2020. They're going to be speaking at our upcoming Remedy 22 conference next year in late February. I want you to hear how they continue to be amazing ambassadors for Christ just outside New York City as the fourth wave of COVID is rolling across North America. Be sure to join us next week. As always, I want to thank you for listening to CMDA Matters today. As we close today, I want to reflect on the words that Amy shared with us just a few minutes ago. She said, "You know, you don't have to divorce your occupation from your calling from God. You can be a Christian physician and live that every day." That's why CMDA is here, to help you be a Christian healthcare professional and to live that out every day in your practice. These two medical students have been an incredible example to us. And I pray hearing about their courage and their boldness will give you the courage as well as the boldness to stand before your patients and live out your faith every day. And in doing so, you'll be bringing the hope and healing of Christ to our world. That's what matters most to CMDA, and CMDA matters. We'll see you next week, El Shaddai willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.